Thank you for tuning in for Tune Up with Deb, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Now back to your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today, Shirley Bond, MLA for Prince George of Aylmont. Also, she is the chair on the Select Standing Committee on Public Accounts and the official opposition's co-finance critic. Just before the break, we were really getting into some details concerning post-secondary education and the opportunities that are available in our neck of the woods. Back to the topic of the budget, my curiosity is really about what is our NDP government building its forecasting on, and truly, is this budget sustainable? Shirley, your comments, please.
Well, we're concerned about it. I think the way that I've characterized it, certainly in the legislature and outside, is that we see some very high risks with this budget. We're concerned that my biggest concern is that we see one side of the ledger being considered, and that is the spending side. What is missing is a jobs plan, an economic growth strategy. You know, if you're going to spend and you're going to rely on the strength of an economy, you actually have to do something to encourage growth, to make sure that that momentum continues. And what we're finding is that, you know, the economy is, there is concern about the economy slowing down globally. And it feels like this is a, you know, we're going to spend what we have to spend. And, you know, even though we've been warned that there could be some uncertainty coming, you know, we're just going to keep spending and we're going to look at taxpayers as a way of generating that revenue. And we think that's irresponsible. You need to be looking at both sides of the equation. If you're going to spend, you need to look at revenue generation. You need to look at attracting investment, making sure people want to choose British Columbia as a place to invest and grow their businesses. We see none of that in this budget. So we see a pretty one-sided approach to spending and growing debt, with a very significant lack of detail around a jobs plan, an economic growth strategy, or anything that actually helps to generate the revenue that we need for these promises to be kept.
Yes. So while BC's debt to gross domestic product is the third lowest among all of our Canadian provinces, I personally loved hearing Christy Clark speak a few years ago now. It's really not that long ago, where she was talking about the goal of a debt-free British Columbia within, at that point, was a 20-year time frame. But it doesn't look like the NDP government is moving our province towards that direction at all. Would you please explain to us how British Columbia can continue to have budget surpluses, but at the same time, the provincial debt load is growing every year since about 2009?
Well, I mean, basically, when you look at what governments do, they basically borrow to build. And that's what happens. I mean, it doesn't matter which government you're a part of, there is usually borrowing involved. But paying down debt is also an important consideration. And we were actually heavily criticized near the end of our mandate for not spending on program things, which obviously this government makes a priority of. Instead, we focused on debt reduction. We wanted to bring down that debt, the debt, so that we could lower those interest payments, which we felt could be used to then build infrastructure. So it's a very different approach. In fact, provincial debt is going to go up by $14.5 billion in 3 years. And we're getting awfully close. If it gets to over $82 billion, we're going to get pretty close to the point where our credit rating could be at risk. And as you can imagine, that is a significant impact. People really don't think about it. We currently have a AAA credit rating, which we worked very hard to earn over the course of our time in government. This government has managed to hang on to that to this point. But if your credit rating is at risk, it's just like you and your home and you're trying to balance your budget and what the interest costs are going to be. If we lose that AAA credit rating, that is a significant problem. So, you know, we feel that the budget is a high-risk budget. We're concerned about the global economy. We're concerned about the debt increases. And basically, we're concerned that there doesn't seem to be a plan to actually generate revenue to pay for these significant promises. And there's a number of them still missing, as I said earlier. You know, we British Columbians were promised $10 a day daycare. Today, you pretty much have to win the lottery to be one of the pilot daycares across British Columbia that are actually benefiting from a $10 a day program. This budget did nothing to move that agenda forward either.
So what is meant by the term then, tax-supported debt and self-supported debt? These two terms we're hearing, I know they're not new terms, but could you provide some clarity on those terms for us, please?
Sure. Well, taxpayer-supported debt is actually government's direct debt. So that is, you incur that for government operating expenses, capital expenses, and you look at organizations like Crown corporations, agencies, school districts. That is the debt that requires subsidies from the provincial government and actually show up on our consolidated financial statements. Self-supported debt is the debt that usually includes the commercial Crown corporations. So in essence, they generate enough revenue to cover the interest costs and repay the principal. So it is self-supported in that those agencies, those commercial Crowns, for example, they're responsible for repaying the principal, whereas taxpayer-supported debt is you and I. It is what government directly incurs, and ultimately we're responsible for paying that down.
So how's that working out so far with the whole self-supported debt idea? ICBC is a little scary right now.
Well, there is no doubt about it. ICBC is a challenge. And one of the things we're concerned about in this budget, and, you know, I know that there's a lot that needs to be done at ICBC. And when we think about whether or not we can tinker our way to fixing those issues, I think there is more and more cynicism about whether or not that can actually happen. But one of the challenges we face in this budget, if you can imagine, when you look at what what we looked at in the budget, the ICBC is expected to go from a loss of approximately $1.18 billion to a positive outcome of $50 million in a very short period of time. We're very skeptical that that can be done. And while there are initiatives to make changes, including looking at caps on minor injuries, they're looking at courts and legal costs and all of those things, there is definitely going to be premium increases. And so that means rates will go up, and it's certainly challenging. We had challenges with ICBC as well, and I think one of the things we need to be asking is, are there better models in the world? Is that something we should be considering? So big challenges, and again, from our perspective, we're very skeptical that the ICBC fix that's laid out in the budget will actually materialize.
I think that's called magic, but I do have just a couple minutes more here. And really my question is, how can British Columbians get more involved in the political process? And this is a little bit of a frustration you're going to hear in my voice, but it seems that the high point of involvement politically for just the regular citizens is just showing up to vote. And personally, I just don't feel that that is enough. So here we're in a situation where the government that is in power has gone ahead, made a budget for our entire province that looks quite shiny and glittery on the outside, but scares me silly when I think about the future. I think about my children, my grandchildren. I think about the instability of markets and economies, not just our economy, but global economies. And we're so influenced by global economies in British Columbia. So how can we as regular everyday citizens get more effectively involved? Because personally, I would like to do more than just complain, Shirley.
Well, you know what? I can tell you this, that first of all, programs like this make a big difference, and we need a lot more of them. We need to have people ask probing questions about things like the budget. We need people to take an interest. You know, one of the things I've learned in my time in public office is that most families are just working hard every day, you know, to get the kids to school, to take care of their bills, to, you know, to find a little bit of time to spend with families. And so, you know, this it does end up being that, you know, maybe during an election period, there's an extra, you know, there's some extra attention paid. And that's not a criticism. It's just the reality of life. So, you know, I want to really encourage people to think about, you know, is there a political party? And I'm not, you know, to me, it doesn't matter in many ways which one. Is there a political party that reflects their values? Is there a place that they can go and speak up and share their views about policy changes? And I think one of the things all of us need to work on is making sure that our young people, you know, your 30-year-old son and my sons and daughter, my grandsons, for that matter, when they grow up, how do we engage them in this process? Right now, they feel like their views don't matter, and we have to find ways to encourage and provide opportunities. So I don't have a great answer. It's an ongoing question. It's something that I share your concern about, and especially when today we're talking about a budget that could impact the future of British Columbia. And so we do need to do a better job of getting information out, asking to hear input, and also asking those tough questions of the people who currently represent our part of the province.
Yes. Thank you again. I really appreciate your time, Shirley. Appreciate the hard work and the devotion that you bring to the opposition on behalf of people who are still, we're citizens of British Columbia, but I still feel that in personally, I am part of a member of the opposition at this point. And unfortunately, that was a very partisan comment. But anyways, as British Columbians, we need to benefit from both sides, because really that is what's forming government. So again, Shirley, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I really do appreciate that.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for giving us the opportunity and for doing your homework with the questions. It's always appreciated.
To my listeners, thank you so much for your time. I do encourage you to take a look at some of the political involvement that you could get involved in. If there's anything in your community, any meetings, any policy meetings, any of those type of get-togethers where they're asking for community involvement or community opinion, please provide that information. Our government needs that information. Thank you for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.